नमः ओम श्री पदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय श्रीमाधिपाद्री वदान्त स्वामी नामने नमस्ते सरस्वते गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निवर्षय सुनिवारी वस्त्र ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय and others. Translation in personal praise to one who is received by the people and the Sunday O Vidura, we have heard that Brahma has brought a name up, who was born from his body, and who attracted his mind to the sex, although she was not sexually inclined towards him. Balabhamma Mary Brahma, Bhagavatam 9:19. It is said that the senses are so mad and strong that they can bewilder even the most sensible and learned man. Therefore, it is advised that one should not indulge in living alone, even with one's mother, sister, or daughter. With Vamsan, Apirkarasati means that even the most learned also become victims of the senses' urge. Maitreya has stated this anomaly on the part of Brahma, who is sexually inclined to his own daughter. But still we mention it because sometimes it so happens, and the living example is Brahma himself. A boy is the primeval living being and the most learned within the whole universe. If Brahma could be a victim of sexual urge, then what of us who are prone to so many mundane frailties? The extraordinary immorality on the part of Brahma was heard to have occurred in some particular kopa, but it could not have happened in the kopa in which Brahma heard directly from the Lord the four essential verses. Because the Lord benedicted Brahma after giving him lessons on the Bhagavatam that he would never be ruled in any court whatsoever. This indicates that before hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, he might have fallen a victim to such sensuality, but after hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam directly from the Lord, there was no possibility of such a failure. One should, however, take serious note of this incident. The human being is a social animal, and his unrestricted mixing with the fair sex leads to downfall. Such social freedom of men and women, especially among the younger section, is certainly a great stumbling block on the path of spiritual progress. Material bondage is due only to sexual bondage, and therefore unrestricted association of man and woman is surely a great impediment. Maitreya stated this example on the part of Brahma just to bring to our notice this great danger. Translation. Over the earth, we have heard that Brahma had a daughter named Bhak, who was born from his body, and who attracted his mind towards sex, although she was not sexually inclined towards him.
It's a very extraordinary incident. Lord Brahma was considered the most qualified personality to triangle, to take up the position of Brahma. And he was expected to be beyond such frailties, especially when it came to the case of his own daughter. Of course, that couldn't be avoided because there are no one else except his children, clearly everybody. But still, we find here that Maitreya Muni is very hesitant to give this information to Vidura. After all, Brahma is the leading the personality in the universe, the foremost lord, the Vedas. And even if such great personalities make mistakes, it should not be taken seriously. In fact, as soon as they come back to their right senses and continue their practice of devotional activities, then it's even offensive to remember those activities in front of such a person. Sri Krishna Chakravarti points out that even after somebody has fallen away from devotional principles and again engaged in mundane activities, if he comes back to devotional path, and that's sufficient. No other action is necessary for his purification. He's already considered to be properly situated. In fact, he also points out that once one comes to devotional service, taking the chanting of the holy name, especially accepting initiation into a bona fide parampara, then the only way it's possible for him to stray away from the devotional principles is through Vaishnavatara. So there are different levels of Vaishnavatara, and if we're not very careful, then it can become a daily activity of abusing the Vaishnavas. In so-called small ways, we should be very careful to understand that Vaishnavas, Kanishka, Majin, Uttam, and even above, are all very dear to Krishna. All very dear to Krishna. And so, if we mistreat in any way a Vaishnava, that's going to build up, and eventually the intelligence will become rewarded, and will again engage in useless activity. The Prabhupada gave an example that these offences, they come upon us, and then just as the moon slowly wanes day by day in days until we reach darkness, in the same way our intelligence becomes affected and we lose our ability to understand what is right and what is wrong due to offences. And depending on the seriousness of the offence will depend on how much we have covered. Anyway, here in the case of Brahma, it's very extraordinary. When it happens, sages and other personalities who were present at that time, they came before Brahma and questioned him, what is this strange activity? We've never heard of this before, and we never expected this to happen with such a personality. Anyway, what was their position to instruct Lord Brahma or to criticize him? So they came and asked questions. This is the proper way when you do when some activity is improper, especially when personality is seen. And Prabhupada pointed out what the singing means. Once when Prajumna was sitting with his godbrother in front of Prabhupada chastised him that, why are you pushing ahead of him? He's your elder godbrother. Prajumna said, actually, they got initiated 3 or 4 minutes from each other. So we should understand that just how this parampara system works. So if we feel, and we must remember we could be wrong, if we feel that a senior Vaishnava's activities do not appear to be up to the standard, then we can approach and ask questions. And what is this? Is this the proper activity? Has this been performed previously by great personalities? Is this some special activity? In this way, we can ask questions in a very gentle manner. And in the case of Brahma, immediately reciprocated by actually casting off that body. And that's possible for us too, by casting off that mental contamination and carrying on. So we have to very much be careful that we don't offend the Vaishnavas, that we don't commit namapraad or sevapraad, because all of these things will put us in a position of being committing similar activities. Lord Brahma, of course, took on that situation as a living example. But even a Mahabharata can, if you offend the Vaishnava of the lowest category, he can fall in this position. You should not think that it's not, I am so much more advanced and so much older than this yogi. It doesn't matter how I treat this person. It does matter. Vaishnavas are dear to Krishna. And Krishna is dear to the Vaishnavas. So then we have Tariya. Tariya means something which is very precious to somebody, very close. The Vaishnavas are considered to be Tariya, very precious to Krishna, very close. So when you offend, when you disrespect something or someone who is very close to a personality, can that personality become distressed? Even more so than when you offend that person. So this is the case with Krishna and Vaishnavas. So we have to be very careful not to commit these offenses. Even if they're small offenses, they will build up and our intelligence will become covered and it will form upon our activities. And if we're fortunate, we'll come back to the path of devotional service. But those Vaishnavas witnessing such activities should not take on the mood. Just like the sages, they didn't take on the mood at all. Just see that person nice for me, whether I can get about them. No, they were very anxious, they weren't so. Let us approach this person, let us encourage him and find out what is this. One particular devotee who was in San Francisco, he left the movement, got into all kinds of unnecessary activities, and in the course of time, Srila Prabhupada came to that temple and asked about this devotee. And so they called that devotee to the temple and said, Srila Prabhupada is asking for you. When he came, he had a long talk with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada saw that his position had indeed become very fallen. And in the end, Srila Prabhupada asked him, but do you still love Krishna? And he said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. He said, all right. Did he please keep on praying in due course of time? After he left, Prabhupada started to scream and the devotees were present there. But what have you done? That not one of you could get up and go to him in a loving mood and say, please come back, please come back and join us. Nature of condition living entity actually takes pleasure to see someone else getting into. It's really hard to have one's out of the way and another position to become more prestigious. Oh, this is the only thing that's serious anyway. I always do. This is a sign of somebody who's not even actually reached Krishna flag. The enviousness is still so great within the heart that it's actually pleased. And the number one has the sages, they came to Lord Brahma very much concerned. But what is this? What is this activity? Shri Prabhupada in Gopal here, he gives some indication of the chronological order of things. But this all happened on a day previous, day one previous to the day when Krishna spoke Chatusloki's. Otherwise, he points out, it wouldn't be impossible, because after speaking of Chatusloki, and Krishna gives his benediction to Brahma there, now you will never be bewildered by the modes of intimidation. Up to that time, Brahma had started to create the universe on previous days in different ways and different branches of the vague knowledge of manifesting. But then eventually, on each successive creation of the universe, Lord Brahma gets more and more detailed information. And eventually that day came, how many days we don't know, when Lord Brahma was sitting there and Krishna came in and spoke to Chatusloki. All of these other Brahmins, Vedas, and their elders, they have transcendental knowledge within them, but they are not completely transcendental in themselves. Srimad Bhagavatam is 10% Radha-Krishna, Sabda-Bhagavatam. So at the appropriate moment, Krishna came and gave Lord Brahma the Bhagavatam. This is in the case of Vyasadeva. He wrote down some of the Vedas, invited them, Mahabharata, Puranas. But then Narada came to him and said, oh, what is this? You still don't seem to be totally situated in Krishna. You still don't seem to be unperturbed. Why can I have that to be the case? When you've disseminated transcendental knowledge, then you should be 10% Krishna, far beyond the effects of illusion. And then, of course, he pointed out, I think this is because you spent time with these other parameters and stuff, which do not exactly, precisely, point out transcendental loving service to the Lord's speech. And after that, of course, he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, which came down with Brahma, Narada, Vyasadeva. Once we have a chance to come in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam, then we can step onto the transcendental path. But we need to understand the Bhagavatam through the bona fide Brahma flow. Bhagavatam is actually given from one person to the next. The transcendental treasure. Krishna prayed in the form of some direction. And it's passed on from one person to the next. And when that some vibration enters through the ears and goes deeper into the heart, and the heart becomes like a liquid. Krishna prayed. It liquefies all of the announcements, all of the stupid ideas we have based on our false ego conception of myself and the world, liquefies them. out again in the form of sound. And those who hear, they can receive it through their ears and can enter into their hearts. And thus, Krishna prayed to pass from one living entity to another. As long as the source is the original source, Shamsunda, Srimati Radharani, then it is guaranteed to be success. But Krishna Chakrabati Thakur points out, as do all of the acharyas, that we must always be very careful not to abuse this great gift of Krishna. But to understand very carefully that we must treat the Vaishnavas with great respect, because there is good description, that we must treat the Bhagavatam. It's not different to our dimension. The Tulsi Devi and the deities should always be worshipped, and the chanting of the holy name, which is received in the same way as Bhagavatam, from person to person. And of course, the association of the Vaishnavas. Even when you do all of those other things very carefully, but if we don't learn how to associate with the Vaishnavas, then we cannot hope for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Cannot hope. Advancement in Krishna consciousness comes from the Vaishnavas, in association with the Vaishnavas. Advancement of our mood and devotion to Krishna is gained. Mood is gained from other Vaishnavas. It's possible. And the mood of how to be merciful is the same way. That we pass on to other devotees whatever we may have gained by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Shastra. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. These are not exaggerations. One moment's association with a Vaishnava is more valuable than anything else, especially if that Vaishnava happens to be on the topmost rung. But even if that Vaishnava has not advanced very greatly, has not deepened his faith, still association with that person is very If we can believe this, then we can actually advance the devotional service, because we can take very seriously the association of Vaishnavas. When one Brahmin went to Chakrishwar Mahadev in Govardhan, praying, "Oh, please give me wealth, please give me money," and so forth. Mahadev told him, "Alright, just close to here is one very great Mahatma, and he's keeping a great treasure with me. Please go there and let you keep him." So he went there, and that Mahatma was Sanatan Goswami. He offered his praises, expecting that Chakrishwar Mahadev has told me that if I come to you, you will give me a great treasure, which will relieve me of all my anxieties. Standing there and sitting there with this little cloth around him, around his waist. Back nothing in his body moved him, completely poor. And he said, what am I going to give you? I don't have anything. You've been misguided. The father said, no, that's not possible. So then sometimes he said, oh, wait a minute, I remember. Yeah, you just go round the back of the half day and find some rubbish there, and in there there's one touchstone. I'm so happy when he found that stone. Oh, wow, whatever. I am untouchable, turned to gold. And he actually went dancing on complete ecstasy. Wow, now I'm the most valuable thing ever. So rich now. But something told him, wait a minute, this is something wrong. If this is the most valuable thing he has, why are you keeping it in the darkness? He's hiding something from him. So he returned. And he said, excuse me, sir, but I think you're making a fool of me. You've given me this thing which you keep in the garbage, it cannot be the most valuable thing in that. And the son of Dan said, yes, actually it's true. I have something more valuable. But I thought you were not interested. Generally people approach Mahadev or Shiva to get material for him. Anyway, he told that Brahman, you just go to the Mahansi Gandhi and pull this stone in there. Take a bath and come back. And I will give you something so much more valuable. So he went and threw that stone in the Mahansi Gandhi. I knew one devotee who spent almost 3 weeks on that gap, diving in full day long, hoping to find that stone. Anyway, he came back to San Francisco and offered his obeisances, and then San Francisco gave him the Mahamudra. Then that Brahman realized, yes, now I have received the greatest treasure. Because now I have one more effect. And not only that, I'm tasting something which gets sweeter and sweeter all the time. So if we can really believe this, if we can really have faith in Sadhu Shastra, that this is the most valuable thing, then we will keep it very carefully. And be careful not to offend and not to lose this most valuable. It's like we love our money, not very carefully, or whatever material valuable thing we may have, and guard it very carefully. But we should understand that this Mahamantra, this Bhagavatam, this Sadhu Sangha, Vaishnava Association, this opportunity to be here in Mayapur, this opportunity to be in this transcendental society is gone. Srila Prabhupada said, has come from the spiritual world. Then we should be very, very careful to hold on to this and to treat those around us with great respect, understanding that by association, this treasure can become deeper and deeper and deeper. Beyond the possibility of words to express. It's not possible to describe exactly what is Krishna's brain. Because Krishna's brain is a mood of complete surrender to Krishna. Surrender satisfying Krishna. As soon as we try to analyze it too deeply, then we cannot touch the beginning stages of bhakti, we study very carefully so that we can free ourselves from the three modes of material energy. We can free ourselves from the attraction to the five kinds of liberation, especially the liberation of merging. We can free ourselves from the attraction of the opulences of God. And by the grace of the Vaishnavas, we can come to the platform of appreciating the sweetness of the devotional service. That sweetness is so powerful, so overwhelming. Nectar of devotion. The one way to submerge ourselves in that nectarine ocean, we no longer need to analyze what is bhakti. We simply need to engage in loving reciprocation of Krishna and the other associates with Krishna. This is available for all of us. We're so unlimitedly fortunate that we come in contact with a line of devotees who are coming from Govardhana Vrindavan. Topmost place, which even the residents of Rotten Tour have no proper understanding. But even the line of praying, I'm going to come out of one of their things. Luxury of performing austerities will allow them to come over here. And yet, by the grace of the residents of our place of Sankara is here, simply by coming in contact and allowing their grace to enter our soul, we can enter into that transcendental mood which is known as Bhakti Vrinda. That land of rasa, where everything is liquid plain. Place where the Srimad Bhagavatam comes from. Now we have the opportunity, Prabhupada, as you study the slokas of this Bhagavatam, you start to see Krishna in pages. His leaders will start to manifest. That study is not, oh, how we have control, I guess I can understand this. But that study is a mood of submission, of hearing the Bhagavatam. Yes, wanting to understand, but in a submissive way, through inquiry, through prayer. And always being very careful. Remember, even a great person like Lord Brahma, what to speak about this, somehow came influenced by the modes of intimidation. Lord Shiva was completely embarrassed when he requested to see the Lord's potency. And he was dragged here and there in front of all the three sages, just to let them see, or even the Lord Shiva, to make a fool of himself. He thinks somehow, I can be better than the Lord's prophets. I can be more powerful than the Lord's prophets. Let's be careful not to take this hunger into the realm of spirituality. It cannot actually go. But let's be careful not to attempt. As long as I keep in this high, I know the Father's done, I can have the mission nicely, I can do the service so nicely, I can say that. Respect me. As long as this is there, we should pray it is not there. Because that is not the mood we should pray. That's unjust, unjust. Do not let me submit to you. Somehow, pray very sincerely, but please allow me to enter deeper and deeper into this ocean of devotion. Please allow me to see things how they are. Allow me to associate with the Vaishnava. Please allow me to turn Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Rama. Without the prince. To hear the Bhagavatam, without the prince. To worship Tulsi in the deities, without the prince. To reside here in the Dham, without the prince. These things, they don't take Dham doesn't take offense. But Krishna becomes very disturbed. Because he's all to hear, all very dear to him. We have to really think to set that ground going on with this touchstone. Do I actually have the most valuable thing, or is it something more valuable? And if we get that more valuable thing, we have to be fully aware that bhakti is topmost and nothing else is as valuable as well. Powers for liberation, but none of them can bring satisfaction to the soul. Only God. But for sure and certain, when bhakti is done so carefully, why would bhakti control suspicion? That Krishna who is a source of all the lands, it's a source of everything. But he controls it. It's very valuable. And we cannot get that bhakti unless we're very sincere and unless we're willing to give up all the other things. Srila Goswami has pointed out very clearly in his preface to Bhakti Rasamrita Singh and the devotion that it's not a question of volume. I chant Hare Krishna all day, I do different services all day long. It's a question of quality, a question of seriousness, of sincerity. Otherwise, we just jump and do other activities just for the sake of doing them without deep faith. Then we'll just take birth again and again in the association of the Vaishnavas in different cases. We want pure Krishna prayer, unmotivated Krishna bhakti. And we have to pray for them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Please engage in your service. Please give me your service. learn how to cry to Krishna. This is the crying. Hare Krishna. But we understand that there is no happiness in this material situation. That there is no happiness in all the different organisms. That they only bring distress in the end. Even though they may appear to temporarily give some taste. If we really understand that, if we really have faith, in the Shastra, when it tells us that none of these things are going to give you real happiness, then we'll reject all those things and beg for that most valuable thing. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
So we said that if somebody, okay, a listener is doing something.
Well, that would depend on time and circumstances. If there are senior professionals there, then it may be better to approach them with these questions. Also, we should be very careful that, after all, it's by our perception. So first you should see that, oh, am I just reading this, or is it actually something real? Am I just imagining? Just like the person said, I'm fasting one day, we see someone in place of a shark or in his room, and come out empty. So our perception is, oh, I'm not eating that. But we don't know. We only know that he goes in and comes out empty. Right? The rest is your speculation. Until you find out. So, as we see in the coming shlokas of Bhagavatam, the sages, they approach Lord Brahma. And what is this activity? We've never heard of it being complained before. So first we need to see if our perception is right, and then we can inquire. But as here, there were so many personalities who came to Lord Brahma. But they allow the senior personalities to question. So if we're feeling something, we can go to another senior Vaishnava and say, I just can't understand this activity. But if we're easily going to take on the mood, oh yes, definitely wrong, there's no doubt about it. And that's an offense in it. And when you go to question somebody in that mood, it's not going to come over this question. Come over as an object. The mood to approach someone is always generic. Mohammed in the great class. But we shouldn't be blind. Yes. I don't know when you're saying that, but yes, that's the likelihood.
So that's
the offense will cause your intelligence to become covered. The transcendental aspect of your intelligence, so you won't be able to make proper advancement in the devotional service anymore. You won't be able to discriminate in what is right and wrong action. And according to the degree of offense, you will fall down. But yes, in fancy mentality, as any mentality, will lead you to commit more and more such actions.
So, this is my first question actually.
And this is the meaning of sadhya, to take spiritual life cheaply.
And take it as a
yes. Of course there is. That's why we have to be very careful about it. Association questions. This is in the case of King Yuga. He wasn't trying to offend anyone, but somehow he gave cows a donation. One of those cows wandered back into his herd. And then he donated to another Brahmin, and that cow happened to donate a second time. He didn't do this deliberately, was still goes wrong in the way it ended. Why have you done this? Huh?
So then what was the effect on him as a result
of being a Christian? Became a Christian. But also got a blessing from Krishna, liberated from that situation. To try and analyze the offenses is very difficult, the same way as trying to analyze a disease. So let me just be very careful not to commit offences. Offences can be to the body, to the mind, and to the intellect. But there is always going to be some degree of disagreement. And for that we cannot do very much. We can just try our best to be very respectful to Vaishnavas and to perform our devotional service without deliberately trying to disturb the mind. One person is chanting here, somebody else is speaking over there. I don't know why that person is telling me. That doesn't mean the other person should give up chanting. But also be very conscious of the fact that you are trying to adjust the situation. So we try our best to avoid offenses and Krishna will protect you. Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shrimad Prabhupada.